All right, so imagine this. You're all set up, right? Ready to make a whole bunch of those cool plastic widgets. Got your trusty ABS mold all prepped. And
Oh, yeah.
then, bam, supply chain issues. And all you can get is polypropylene, PP.
Oh, I've heard about this happening.
So the question is, can you just like swap out the ABS, put the PP in, and hit go?
Yeah.
Easy.
Well, not exactly. You see, it's a
Difficult.
question that comes up a lot, surprisingly, in manufacturing. People think it's just a simple material swap, you know? But PP and ABS are, they're really different. Even if you use the same mold, results could be totally different.
Gotcha. So why are these two plastics, like, why are they so difficult to swap? I was reading about this, and it seems like the biggest problems come from how differently they behave when you're injection molding them.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to take a deep dive into today. Shrinkage rates,
Ah, hey.
processing temperatures, and the overall properties of these two materials.
Okay.
Each of these things really affects whether you can even think about swapping them.
Let's get into it. So, starting with shrinkage rates, I've got this table here. It says PP has a shrinkage rate of like 1.5% to 2.5%, and ABS is way lower at 0.4% to 0.8%.
Okay.
Now, those numbers might look small,
Right.
but when you're making things precisely,
Yeah.
that's a huge difference.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Imagine you're making like a million phone cases.
Okay.
They need to fit perfectly on the phone, right?
Yeah.
If they're even a little bit too small, because of shrinkage, they won't fit at all. You'll have a mountain of useless phone cases.
Oh, yeah. A logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Dimensional accuracy is key. They've got to be the exact right size every time.
Yes.
Okay, so next up is processing temperatures. I've heard these plastics like it hot, but at different temperatures.
Yeah, this is critical. PP likes to be cooler, between 160 degrees C and 220 degrees C, usually. ABS, on the other hand, needs more heat, like 210 degrees to 250 degrees C. It's kind of like baking. If you put a delicate pastry into a super hot oven, it'll just burn up.
Oh, right.
That's basically what happens if you try to use PP in a mold that's too hot for it. The PP degrades and loses its strength.
So you got to find that sweet spot for each one.
Exactly.
So we've talked about how they melt and shrink differently, but what about their just like how strong they are and stuff? Do those properties matter too?
Oh, absolutely. ABS is known for being tough, you know, impact resistant.
Like,
Think of Lego bricks. That's what they're made of.
oh, okay, yeah.
PP is better for heat resistance and chemical resistance. That's why it's used for like food containers. They go in the dishwasher, hot water, acidic sauces. PP can handle it.
So each one is good for different jobs.
Right.
But going back to that shrinkage thing, it seems like that's the biggest problem when you're trying to swap them.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. Remember that molds are designed with a specific material and shrinkage rate in mind. So if you change to a material that shrinks very differently, the final product might be totally wrong. It might not work. Like those phone cases, remember. And it could even be weak. Like, what if it's a medical device or a car part? It could break, you know, really bad.
That's scary.
Yeah. It's like building a house with warped wood. It might look like a house, but it won't be safe.
So what can you even do then? Like, what if you have to use PP in an ABS mold? Is it just like impossible?
It might be possible. There are some things we can try. One option is to change the design of the mold itself to accommodate the PP.
So, like, instead of trying to squeeze the PP into the wrong mold, you're changing the mold to fit the PP.
Exactly. Like making the mold cavity a bit bigger. Or adding extra space for the shrinkage.
Clever, but that sounds like a lot of work, especially the mold is complex.
You're right. It can be expensive and take a long time, especially if the mold has a lot of details.
Yeah.
It might not be the best solution if you need to make the parts quickly or if you don't have a lot of money.
So what else can you do? What about like messing with the temperature and pressure and stuff? Like maybe you could make it work if you change how you inject the plastic.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And yeah, adjusting those things, what we call processing parameters,
Okay.
that can help. It's like fine-tuning an instrument, you know?
Oh, okay.
We can tweak the injection speed, the pressure, how long it takes to cool down, and find the right combination so the PP behaves the way we want.
So it's not just like turning up the heat and hoping for the best.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
But there's a limit to how much you can adjust these things. If you push it too far, you can ruin the final part,
Okay.
like too much pressure, and it could warp.
Right.
Or if it cools down too quickly, it could be brittle and break easily.
So it's like a balancing act.
Exactly.
All right, so we talked about adjusting the mold itself, and we talked about changing
Processing parameter.
processing parameters. But are there any like really out there solutions? I was reading about something called material modification. Is that like actually changing the PP like at a molecular level to make it behave more like ABS?
That's where it gets really interesting. Material scientists are working on this all the time.
Really?
They're making new mixtures of plastics, adding special ingredients to change how they behave. So in the future, maybe we will have PP that's basically designed to act like ABS when we're injection molding.
Wow, that's like plastic alchemy.
Haha, kind of.
I can't wait to see what they come up with. But for now, while we're waiting for those future solutions, are there any other practical things we could try? Like something that's not so expensive or doesn't take so long, besides changing the whole mold?
There are some cool approaches. One is using what we call inserts.
Inserts.
Yeah, it's like giving your mold custom-made shoes.
What?
Basically, there are these extra pieces that you can add to the mold
Okay.
to change the size or the surface of the cavity so you get a perfect fit for the material.
So it's like giving the mold a little makeover so it can work with the different plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
What's good about using inserts?
Well, they're really flexible. You can swap them in and out depending on what material you're using, or even if you're making different products with the same mold.
So you can make one mold do a lot more.
Yeah, and it's cheaper than making a whole new mold every time.
So what other alternatives are there?
Another option is using what we call hybrid molds. Now, these are fascinating. Hybrid molds are pretty cool. They're like, imagine a Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
But for molds,
Okay, I like it.
they're designed to work with more than one material. So, they might have parts you can swap out or adjust so you can switch between PP and ABS easily.
So instead of being stuck with one plastic, you've got options.
Exactly. And this is really helpful for, say, companies that need to be flexible and use a lot of different materials, like in the automotive industry, where you need some parts to be rigid, some to be flexible, or consumer electronics, where the case is different from the parts inside.
So it's all about being adaptable, huh?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and efficient.
Huh?
But there's a trade-off. Hybrid molds are more complex to make.
Oh.
They can be more expensive than regular molds, and they're more specialized. So it's not the right solution for everyone, but for some companies, they're really valuable.
Yeah, it makes sense. If you're switching materials all the time, it's worth the investment.
Right.
But what about using some of this new tech, like 3D printing or CNC machining? Could those help with this PP versus ABS problem?
Definitely. These technologies have opened up so many possibilities. For example, 3D printing is amazing for prototyping.
Oh, yeah.
You can design and test different molds really quickly, tweak them and experiment without having to spend a lot of money making a real mold right away.
So it's like a test drive before committing to a mold.
Exactly. And then there's CNC machining. It's like having a super precise sculptor who can change your existing mold with incredible accuracy.
Wow.
They can adjust certain areas to fit the new material or even make small design changes, all without ruining the original mold.
Wow, that's impressive. So we have a lot of options when it comes to using PP with a mold made for ABS.
We do. It's not a simple yes or no answer. It really depends on what you're making, what your budget is, and how much time you have. The important thing is to understand how each material works and then choose the right approach.
Yeah, it's like solving a puzzle, finding the right pieces to make it all work.
That's a great way to put it.
And sometimes the best solution isn't even about the mold itself.
Right.
Maybe there's a completely different way to make the part, or maybe there's a better material to use.
Exactly. It's all about thinking creatively and exploring all the possibilities.
Throughout this, we've talked a lot about the technical stuff, but let's zoom out for a second. Why is choosing the right material so important? Like, what's the big deal?
Choosing the right material is the foundation of any good injection molding project. It's not just about finding a plastic that will fill the mold. It's about making sure that plastic has the right properties for what you're making.
So, like, you wouldn't build a bridge out of popsicle sticks.
Exactly. You need to match the material to the job. And that's where the differences between PP and ABS are so important. We talked about shrinkage rates, processing temperatures, and how strong they are.
Right.
But there's so much more to consider, like how they react to chemicals, how much heat they can handle, how flexible they are, how long they last, even how they look.
Yeah.
It's like choosing ingredients for a recipe. Each ingredient has its own purpose, and if you use the wrong one, the whole dish is ruined.
Never thought about it like that.
It's true. Choosing the right material is a big decision, and it usually involves engineers, designers, and material scientists all working together.
It's not just about, like, looking at a chart and picking up plastic.
No. It's about knowing how that material will actually behave in the real world.
And that's where experience really matters.
It does. Sometimes you need to talk to experts or do lots of testing to make sure you're choosing the right material.
It's like asking a really good cook for advice when you're trying a new recipe.
Uh-huh. That's a good analogy. And just like a chef needs to know about allergies and dietary restrictions,
right,
material experts need to think about safety rules, environmental impact, and even cost.
Wow. So it's a lot more complicated than I thought.
It is. And that's why it's important to stay up to date on new developments in material science. There are always new materials being invented, each with its own special properties and uses.
It's a field that never stops changing.
Exactly. That's what makes it so exciting. Always something new to learn, new problems to solve, and the potential to create amazing new products.
So in this deep dive, we've explored the challenges and possibilities of swapping PP for ABS, why picking the right material is so important, and all these cool new manufacturing technologies.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, what are the key takeaways? What do you want listeners to remember?
Well, the main thing is material compatibility is really important. You can't just assume that any plastic will work in any mold. Especially with PP and ABS, there are those big differences in shrinkage, processing temperatures, and just the nature of the materials themselves.
It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's not going to work.
Exactly. But don't give up. There are some really clever ways to make it work. We talked about adjusting mold designs, fine-tuning those processing parameters, using inserts, exploring hybrid molds, and even those cutting-edge technologies like 3D printing and CNC machining.
Like a whole toolkit of options.
Yeah.
But with so many choices, where do you even start? What advice would you give to someone who's got an ABS mold and a pile of PP and they're like freaking out?
My advice would be to do your research first. Don't just jump in without a plan.
Right.
Take the time to really understand what you need to make, the properties of each material, and what your equipment can handle. Try different approaches, maybe make some test parts, and don't be afraid to ask experts for help.
So it's like any scientific experiment, you got to plan it out.
Yes. And remember, sometimes the easiest solution is not to change the mold at all. Maybe there's a different way to manufacture the part, or a different material altogether.
So think outside the box, right?
Right. Be open to new ideas and don't be afraid to try something unconventional.
This has been a really interesting deep dive, but before we go, I want to leave everyone with a question to think about. Imagine you need to make a part that was designed for ABS, but you only have PP.
Okay.
What would you do? Would you try to change the mold, use a different manufacturing method, or maybe something else entirely? There's no one right answer. It depends on the situation.
It's a great question to consider. And as you explore the world of materials and manufacturing, remember that it's always changing. New materials, techniques, and technologies are being developed all the time.
So stay curious.
Yes.
Keep learning. Don't be afraid of challenges. And keep exploring the world of materials. Maybe you'll be the one to invent the next amazing plastic that revolutionizes manufacturing.
I hope so.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into injection molding and material compatibility. Until next time, happy molding. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, swapping materials.
Right.
What are the big takeaways? Like, what should people remember from all of this?
Well, I think the most important thing is that you can't just use any plastic in any mold.
Right.
Especially PP and ABS. They're just so different.
Yeah.
Like we talked about the shrinkage, the temperatures, how they behave. It all matters. You could end up with a part that's totally wrong or weak or just won't work at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are ways to make it work.
Okay.
We talked about some of them, like adjusting the mold design, changing the processing parameters, using inserts, those hybrid molds, and even the really high-tech stuff like 3D printing and CNC machining.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of options.
There are, but it can be overwhelming.
Yep.
Like if you're standing there with an ABS mold and a bunch of PT and you're like, what now?
Uh-huh, exactly.
So my advice would be, first, do your research. Really understand what you need to make, what those materials are like, and what your equipment can do.
Right.
Then experiment a little. Try different things. Make some test parts. And if you're really stuck, talk to an expert. Get some advice.
So it's like anything else. Planning and experimenting are important.
Exactly. And sometimes the best solution might not be about the mold at all. Maybe there's a totally different way to make the part or a different material that would work better.
So be creative.
Yes. Be creative, think outside the box, and don't be afraid to try something new.
Well, this has been a really interesting deep dive. Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. Let's say you need to make a part that was designed for ABS, but you can only use PP. What would you do? Would you try to change the mold, use a different manufacturing method, or something else entirely? There's no right or wrong answer. It all depends on your specific situation.
It's a great question. And as you learn more about materials and manufacturing, just remember that this is a field that's always changing. New materials, new techniques, new technologies are being developed all the time.
So keep learning, be curious, don't give up when things get tough, and keep exploring this amazing world of materials. You might even be the one to invent the next revolutionary plastic that changes everything.
Yeah, that's the spirit. That's what makes this field so exciting. It's all about innovation, creativity, pushing the limits of what's possible.
That's a great way to put it. Well, on that note, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into injection molding and material compatibility. Until next time, happy molding.